The Lord is good. If you believe, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's just declare God's word together. Say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Say, the word of God is coming forth this evening. And it's entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What I want to just do this evening, I just want to share something with us briefly. Then I will request that we all join and pray together for the seminar. I just want to ask us to open our Bibles to the book of James. This is just an exhortation. I just want to share God's word with us briefly. James chapter 1. All right, let's start from verse 19. He said, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore," James says, "putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." Now, this is where I'm going, verse 22. "But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it." Please notice that, verse 25. "He abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer." That is, you are one of the two. You are either a hearer only, or you are a doer. And then a hearer only is forgetful. He can't do anything about it. He can never remember. And a doer is effectual in his work. The Bible says this doer will be blessed in what he does. That is, blessing is in the person who does the word of God. It is not in the person who hears it only. This is so important we understand. There was a time God said to Ezekiel, he noticed that one thing was common with the Israelites those days. Amongst them were people who enjoyed Bible studies. Amongst them were those who sat at home and said, "Man, do you listen to Pastor Okemute on Sunday mornings? I will never miss it for anything." Yes, there were people like that. They would sit down and call in and say, "Pastor, what you are doing is great work. The way you answer that question, my God, the thing rhymes." I mean, anytime T.D. Jakes is preaching, they like the rhymes. "I can take a licking and keep on ticking." They enjoy those rhymes. Are you getting my point? Yeah. Okay. And you see them discussing it. But God said to Ezekiel, he said, "You see all those things? You are to them like the sound, like a man who's playing well on an instrument who has a beautiful voice. You're an entertainer." God said, "Well, do you know why I say so?" He said, "Because they hear what you are saying, but they don't do them." That's what he said. Israel was full of them at a particular point in time. People who enjoyed, when prophets will come out to prophesy, they will gather in their numbers. They will pay money to go for that convention. Why? Ezekiel is about to prophesy. And God was looking. And Ezekiel thought ministry was growing. No, Ezekiel thought ministry was good. Let's read it. I know it's one scripture I really like to read once in a while. The Lord is good. Let me just quickly get this. Towards the end of the book of Ezekiel. Yes. Chapter 33. If you read from verse 31, it said, "They come to you as people come and sit before you as my people and hear your words, but they do not do them. For they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart goes after their gain. Behold," so you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. Two-face. "But they hear your words, but they do not practice them." So when it comes to pass, as surely it will, then they will know that a prophet has been in their midst. That's Ezekiel chapter 33. That's what I was referring to. It's so interesting, okay, that this is something that was very common. Like I was saying, Ezekiel realized that he thought ministry was growing. On Sunday, he built a bigger cathedral because the Israelites will pack the place and they will be full. People were tuning into radio broadcasts and they were calling in, say, sir, we like what you are doing. And God said, Ezekiel, don't be deceived. You are to these people like an entertainer. They enjoy your messages. It tickles them. It makes them feel happy. They like you. And there's something about an anointing. You know, anointing makes you very, very interesting to look at. Yeah. This is a matter of fact. You find out that you start looking handsome. That's why I tell young women, if you're in the church and the pastor is single, don't marry him. Because that one that's preaching to you, you can't think again. If he proposes to you today, and then you are still thinking, don't come to service for 6 months. Because anytime he comes, you will love him. Just come, let us open our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Oh God! You can't help it. It's not your fault. You're not a bad person. It's called an anointing. Anointing, that's what Bible uses the word oil, you know, to describe it. It makes the face of a man shine. You will not notice that the guy is not straight once he's preaching. You won't notice that he's not a good man. Under anointing, that's what happens. So now that's not really. If you're a single lady, your pastor is single, and he wants to marry you, don't go to his church again. Not as if it's a problem. Just so that you can think. Go to another church and don't go to his church for a while. Just greet him normally. Let him chase you the way normal men chase normal women. And not to harass you with the Holy Spirit. Are you getting my point? I'm giving you some counsel, though. You know I'm a man of God. You won't be able to think. You're not a bad man, though. Just 6 months, then you'll be able to think. Because the anointing can be overwhelming. That's what I'm just trying to say, okay? So back to our main message. So for that reason, a lot of people tune in, all right, and listen to Pastor Okemute every Sunday because he sounds very nice. But God says, don't be deceived. They are not obeying what you are saying. It's not the number of people that gather in your church. Your cathedral is big. Now you can sit 5,000 people. It's not a sign that your ministry is succeeding. The fact is that people need to do another thing, which is obey the word. You know, like I was saying, on Sunday, I was teaching something that I think we've taught it here before, though I can't remember for a certain. But you remember that the Lord said that, and that Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower, there was those that got results 30-fold, there were those that got results 60-fold, and there were those that got results 100-fold. Now, the question is, why did some get 30? Why did some get 60? Why did some get 100? Don't forget, these are all good Christians. Don't forget that. There were those who heard the word and they didn't get anything at all. The birds of the air came and just took those ones and took them away. There were those that sprang up quickly, but did not have depth of earth. So the moment persecution came, they withered, all right? And then there were those who, the word began to grow. When it was now time for you to get results, what you found was that it was now, it was choked by the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. But amongst those who got the results, some got 30, some got 60, some got 100. Now the question again is that why, let's take the last two. The people that got results, 30, 60, 100, and those that the cares of this world, disfigurement of riches, and the loss of other things choked them. All right? Now, why did it happen with them like that? That's what I want to say. Why did some people get different degrees of results? This is the simple reason. It is because faith makes demands. Let me say that again. Faith will always make demands. Faith for Abraham. Abraham believed God. James said, because he believed God, he responded to the demands of faith. So when God said, move from where you are, he couldn't just say, I believe, and he would sit down. He had to move. When he said that, I believe that God is the one that will make me rich, then when the goods of the king of Sodom came, he had to reject them. That's just the way it is. When he said, okay, in Isaac will your seed be, if you really believe that word, when God said, let Ishmael go, you will agree. You're getting my point here. Faith always makes a demand. Faith does not just allow you to say you believe and you don't obey the demands of faith. The degree to which we obey the demands of faith is what determines whether we'll get 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. That's what I'm going to explain. Some that don't obey the demands of faith at all, the reason usually is because the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things come in and choke their ability to obey the demands of faith. What am I going to say? When James was speaking, when the Lord was speaking through Ezekiel, and then again when the Lord Jesus was speaking in that Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower, is the same thing. That is, faith will make demands. If you don't obey the demands of faith, you will not get the results that you think you should get because you believe. Every time you claim to believe, a demand will be made by faith in your life. Sometimes the demand of faith says, this man that you thought was your friend, from now on, don't call him again. You understand? You assume that he will help you and build up your business. After all, he has capital. I mean, you have a lot of ideas. You have good things that you think you can do. And I say, what you now need is capital. What do you need? You need like 10 million naira to kick this thing going. You need 10 million naira to be able to put your investment together. And this man has 100. He has 200. And he has promised. And he said, listen, young man, when you are ready, I am putting down the 10 million. We're going to split this business 50-50. Sometimes, now there are different rules for different people. There are different applications for different people. There are diversities of manifestations or varieties of effects, all the same God. For some people, faith will just say, now, because you know that man, I want to give you as my demand, that's faith speaking, you are not to call him again. You are not to ever discuss your business idea with him again. I want it to be that when you wake up in the morning, your eyes will be on the Lord alone. How will you know? You will know. Don't worry. Let's not discuss that. You are certain to know that that's what faith is saying to you. That listen, I don't want you ever to call that fellow anymore. What are you going to do? You are just going to stop going to his house. After all, he never comes to yours anyway. So it's not difficult for you. It is not as if, the man, what will I do when he comes? He's not going to come. He's a big man. You are the one that goes to his house. You have to wait in his office for an hour before you get to see him, you know. So it's easy for you to just stop going if you are determined to stop going. Sometimes for some of us, that is the demand of faith. Faith makes it, listen, there's nothing like I just believe and I just declare alone. No. That was what people thought until James came up and said, look, forget that thing. Abraham believed, he declared, he changed his name. That is true. But he did not obey when God said, faith always says something to you for you to obey. He always says it. Sometimes what faith says is sit down, don't go anywhere. For Israel, faith said every Friday to Saturday evening. Friday evening to Saturday evening, don't work. Don't work. What if I have to go to the field? It rains, time to plant the seed. If rain fell on Friday afternoon, sorry, you cannot sow it on Friday night, from Friday evening to Saturday evening. And your teaching of agriculture may tell that is the best time to sow the seed. But faith, according to the way it was given to Moses, said you cannot walk that period. Faith always makes a demand. Faith tells you how to spend your time, tells you how to spend your money. Faith tells you those you can greet and people you can't greet. You know, Christians don't know it. That faith chooses your business partners. It does. Faith determines what you can invest in and what you can't invest in. Faith does. And the degree of result, the power of God has come into your life, is the extent to which you adhere to the instructions of faith. That's what I'm trying to explain. So why do some people get 30-fold or no fold? You know, the first level of people, cares of the world, choking it, that's no fold, zero. They didn't get anything. Why did some get 30? I assume some got 10. The Bible didn't say so, but I just assume some did 20. But there's a reason why the Lord picked 30, 60, and 100. 100 being the maximum attainable. Why did some get 30? Why did some get 60? It's simple. Because of the extent to which they obeyed the demands of faith. I thought about it again this afternoon. In fact, this evening as I was sitting down, something led to it. I was just recording things in my mind. Sometimes people will sit down, they will listen to you for years. They start making decisions. You now say, look, did you listen to me at all? And I realized that there's a difference between hearing and doing. Again, let me say something to you. Being a doer is not something you practice. It's something you make up your mind to be. I don't know whether I get my point. Yes, listen, this is how it is. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, I like to use their Hebrew names. Daniel, no, Azariah, Mishael, and Hananiah, thank you. So, now, those young men, when they were going in, all right, before they went in, they had determined. That's what I'm going to say. They said, we are going to be doers of the word. Nothing, no demand had been made on them at that time, but they said, we will be doers. And we're going to pray for a few minutes this evening, okay? To say, Lord, I am going to be a doer. Lord, I am going to be a doer. It's something you make up your mind and you pray, God, empower me. It's a determination. It doesn't mean it is easy. It's not something you practice. It's something you make up your mind. It's an all or none thing. Before you see the commandments, you make up your mind, I'm going to obey them. I have discovered, all right, that is a major, you know, I've been telling you, it sounds funny. I said, once in a while, I look at the Lord and I feel sorry for him. Anytime I say it sounds funny. But actually, that's how I feel sometimes. What do I mean? He has been thoroughly misrepresented. He has been thoroughly misrepresented. Sometimes you sit and you wonder, say, God, where were you when they were killing your people? You hear that Boko Haram did this, Islam militants did this one, and Al-Shabaab did this one in Kenya, and they just selected out the Christians, and God was watching. Do you ever have that feeling? And you sit in your house and say, Lord, I know you don't like using your power anyhow. Give it to us, we will use it. You get that kind of feeling. Say, Lord, just give us. Don't worry. You are a good God. You are a kind God. We are not that kind yet. We will be like you when we see you as you are. But right now, we never see you fully. So give us, I mean, think about it. What do you think Peter and Co wanted to do? Lord, do we call down fire and level everybody? There are times you feel like that. Say, God, if you cannot handle Islamic militants, why don't you give us? If we only had 10% of your power, there would be no problem in Nigeria. That's how we think. Say, I will just get off all these kidnappers. I alone will kill all of them. And God, you will have peace in your church. But God has not given you the power, so you are frustrated. Or you see those who prosper even though they curse God, like the Bible says. And Malachi said, those who insult the Lord, they are prospering. Do you ever get that feeling? That feeling comes once in a while. Are you getting my point here? And that's why I said I feel sorry for the Lord, that he appears as if his hand is shortened and he cannot deliver. That's what I've just described. But the truth is that this is a matter of fact. We are the ones that prevent his power from manifesting. There are different ways. There are very many different, there are so many different ways. I'm not talking about any of them today. But one of the ones I just want to bring out, all right? I'm not trying to analyze them in detail. I wanted to say. One of the ones I want to bring out is that the truth is that we don't believe him enough. We don't walk according to the demands of faith. We try all the time to mix the two. You know, a man is preaching, he's a pastor, and somebody comes to teach him on the principles of branding and public relations for the growth of the ministry. And even though he's willing to pray, he's willing to preach, he's willing to believe God, but he does not know that you don't mix light and darkness. So he prays, he believes God, he declares the word, except that he mixes light with darkness. And if you go and see, why couldn't the world produce? It was because other things were there, choking it. Other things he tried to use to get results were choking those things. God said, yes, this guy has sown the right seeds. He has watered them. But time for them to produce results, when he was sowing the right seeds, he was sowing PR. When he was sowing the right seeds, he was beside his sowing branding. When he was sowing the right seeds, he was sowing all kinds of things. So when the thing began to was supposed to start producing, the other ones too also grew up and choked the word, and it did not have any effect. But you know, you don't see all of these things. So what you are now thinking, that word is not working the way they said it should work. But God said, hey, wait, that word, it works. Faith works, grace works. But when you were sowing the word, you were sowing other things with it. I've seen all kinds of methods of church growth that I say, I don't care what I did. And you know, sometimes Bible says he himself does not know how. Sometimes when people get results, they start saying, this is how I got the results. And they don't teach those coming after wrong ways of doing things. So people now gather everything, plant it, mix it together. And then when the wheat is supposed to produce results, tears are growing up and choking the ability of the wheat to manifest itself. See why I say I feel sorry for the Lord. Not as if you can really feel sorry for him. I'm just saying that, say, God, we have not believed you enough. That is a matter of fact. And listen, life is always tempting. Don't forget it. Economic recession is speaking to you to make certain decisions you're not supposed to make. Yes. Like I keep on saying, why would it be called a temptation if it was not tempting? How can I be standing here now? Say, Pastor Banky is being tempted to go and eat grass by the roadside. Do you get what I'm saying? Is that a temptation? Fine boy, no pimples like this. Eat grass on the roadside. I'm not going to do it in a million years. Temptation is, Pastor, have you eaten? No. Don't bother preaching this evening. The governor is doing a banquet. You are going to be on the high table, but you have to come. They are closing the door at 4:45. You're supposed to start preaching by 5. And you are hungry. That's temptation. And I say, okay, Muti, what are you doing? So, Pastor, I deal. Why are you asking? I'm just thinking there's a place I'm supposed to go. Will you preach for me this evening? No, why not? We did not. Nobody to preach. Nothing spoil. We'll go preach. I just said, okay. And your mind, I'm about to abandon preaching to go and eat with kings. That one is temptation. If I wasn't hungry, I hope you know it's not temptation. No, it's not temptation if I wasn't hungry. Say, Governor, what is he going to serve? I'm full already. Temptations are called temptations because they are tempting. Leave where you are and go to another place, there's always an advantage. It's not that you're not a stupid, are you getting my point? You're not a fool, you're not a glutton for punishment. When some of the Bible says that if they had thought about where they were coming from, they would have had opportunity to return. When Lot's wife looked back, you think she was looking at the fire? No, she wasn't looking at the fire. When she looked back, she was looking at her trinkets that she left in Sodom. She was looking at her investment. Her stocks, the land she was developing. We went to see whether the angels will smoke that part too. When Lot's wife looked back, she was not being, naturally speaking, stupid. There was something she kept behind that Lot said, don't take. And she said, no, my husband, it is important. When the people of Israel began to look back, find an opportunity to return to where God said they should live, there was a reason. You wake up in the morning, what's for menu? Or what's for breakfast? Manna. No problem, bring it. Afternoon, what's for lunch? Nothing. What? The manna in the morning is supposed to carry you till evening. Is that a joke or what? They say, now so Moses talk about between him and God. You endure it. All right. Evening, what's for supper? Manna. Excuse me. Manna for breakfast, nothing for lunch. Now manna for supper. All right, no problem. After a week, nothing. Well, it's all right. Let's just manage it. By the second week, the same thing is still going on. Now tell your wife, say, what kind of thing is this? After all, in Egypt, story starts. We knew we were slaves, but think about the menu. We are no longer slaves. We are not even eating as well as slaves used to eat. What is the point in this, your deliverance? If you want deliver a person, deliver totally. And the Bible calls it murmuring. Temptations are tempting. That's why they are called temptations. If they were not tempting, they wouldn't be called temptations. To disobey God is always tempting. Economic recession will make you change your principles. It is in the fullness of affliction that God starts separating those who are going far and those who are not going far with Him. It is true. It is when they will say, listen, children are resuming school next week and the money is not available and you're a civil servant. And what they say that, oh, look, why are you doing like this? Just tell the man if he doesn't pay this amount, he's not going to get his permit. And let me tell you something about God. Let's not paint him what he is not. He is not a nice guy. He is God. What am I nice? I'm not saying he's a wicked person. People always think I'm saying people should be wicked. You know, I've been misquoted many times. Pastor Banky said that husbands should not be nice guys. I am just saying being nice is not the primary thing. I'm not saying you should be wicked. I didn't say that. Uh-huh. In the same manner, God's job is not to be nice and sweet. He is to be God, to train you well, a good father, a judge. All right? That's what he is. What does that mean? He doesn't just go around spoiling people. What I'm trying to say here, God is not, he doesn't think that if you stand for him, money will come. Not all the time. Matter you stand and say, no, I will just release the files. I'll sign all the approvals. Let everybody go. Believe me. You will carry your children to school the first week by faith. They will return them by works. So you will carry the children to school by faith. The school authorities will return them the following week by works. Why? Your money is not complete. And you say, you know the truth? God will deliberately wait. That whole term, you will be surprised. You know what he's trying to do? He wants to see what you will do next term. It's not as if he does not know what's going on. It's not as if he cannot help. But it's okay, let's even watch what you will do. Because no, for him, he said, but the children are losing time. He said, what is time? I created time. I can hasten it. I can double it. I can get the results that people get in 5 years. I can get it in 1 year. What is time? It's my commodity. If you want extra, I give it to you. And then, hurry, hurry, hurry. He said, God, what is the hurry? Those that believe, they don't make haste. He said, the years that the locusts ate, I can give you double. That is, for 5 years, locusts wiped everything away. You will do harvest in 1 year. I will give you the result of 6 years. That's what I mean by double. In the 6th year, you will get the results of the previous 66 years. Even though for 5 straight years, you got nothing. That's what he does. He now says, okay, Mr. DG, next term is coming. You know what he's just looking for? Let me summarize it. He's looking for people that will say, even though he slays me, yet I will trust him. Faith is obedience to its demands. He said, look, this is the right way to do it. I am going to stick with it. It's when God has discovered those who are willing to stick with it, even to the risk of their lives, that he now starts releasing the other results. Otherwise, everybody will serve him if he's always sharing out the food. Everybody will serve him. Everybody will follow him. I hope you're getting my point here. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. So what am I going to say here? So faith makes its demands. The truth is that we don't follow it hard enough. And that's why we don't see all the results that are supposed to be attached to it. God is not looking for people he buys over with blessings. That's not what he's looking for. No, gone are the days. No, I don't preach those gospels anymore. If I ever preached it. God is not looking for those who will use, you know, results and blessings to buy over. No, he's looking for those who are committed to serving him. Those who will say that, listen, if serving him is death, then we'll die in that process. Like I say all the time, just write on our tombstone, on our, what do you call that thing? On the plaque, on the grave, that here lies a man, here lies a woman. I died serving God. Just write it for me. That's all I want. But those who say, Lord, I will give to you so you will multiply. God, I'm tired of such people. From 2017, I must not see them around me. Yes. There was a young woman, I was with one brother once, and he said I should see him, see what hello. His phone buzzed. He showed me the message. The young woman had called him that she needed some things. It was a young lady he was following up. And he told her simply, I don't have the money. I'm sorry I can't help you. And part of the reason why I didn't have the money was I didn't think the need was serious. Assuming that I'm sitting down here now. A young woman I'm trying to help, you know, maybe following up church kind of thing. We just gave her life to Christ so that she needs her to do money to do her hair. I will give you money to cut it. If you should be calling me that you want to do your hair, please cut it. It's something like that. It's something like that. I just told the guest, say, listen, if you call and say, please, sir, a senior brother, can you help me? I need to pay school fees. Then we'll be talking. I need to submit my project. I don't have any money. Can you help? Can you lend me money? Can you help me get a job? And sometimes people who are really serious, you see how they're trying to solve their own problems, not trying to dump their problems on you. You see how they're trying to solve it. So they come like that, please. I'm trying to solve this problem, but I'm desperate. I have to submit this project by in 2 weeks' time, and I need money to complete it. Then let's say we can rally it. Okay, no, we call and say something funny. And the guy told her simply, sorry, I don't have that money. Now, this is where the Jesus is going. She now sent him a message. Oh, you know, God knows why he didn't put me in charge of follow-up. Because many people will go to hell. Yes. I won't just answer. The girl has sent him a message. Say, you told me to leave my boyfriends, and you are not there for me. My father. Omo. I wanted to collect the phone. Say, let me finish this follow-up for you. Because if I were the one, I will extend text message, I will call you. I said, did I tell you to leave your boyfriend? I never said any such thing. I never did. That's the thing I'll tell you. I delivered the word of the Lord to you, that repent, otherwise you will perish. If you want to perish, I hereby authorize you in the name of Jesus, go to hell. I will hang my phone. I'll tell you, if you call me again, I'll hang my phone, put it in my pocket. You will be threatening me with, you don't want to. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Not the pastor. It is the soul that sinner that is dying, not the pastor in church that is supposed to be her pastor. What kind of same issue? Such a person never gave his life to Christ, never ready to serve God. If I were the one, ooh la la, I just lost the congregation that day. If I see you in this church again, that's what I go tell you. Don't come here. If you ask me for one kobo, I don't know. People think that Christianity, you they beg somebody. I like the ministry of John the Baptist. John the Baptist looked at them. He looked at, Peter and Cobra, his disciples before. He said, Peter, come. See that Pharisee is coming. Who warned you to run away from the judgment about to come? He said, John, easy now. You know, go baptize man. No, I'm not in the baptizing mood today. You want baptism? Walk on your knees from here to there. John, take their eyes. Before he agreed to baptize them, he go insult. All those that were baptized by John were serious. There's nothing. Come for baptism, your problems will go away. John the Baptist, the Bible said, did no mighty work. Is that what the scripture says? The man was not healing anybody. His own was that, listen, get ready. The kingdom of God is coming. I like that ministry. Which is the reason why God didn't put me in charge of follow-up anywhere. He said, who? Banky. He's not following anybody up. Now, why am I going to all of that? I think, listen, let's get ready to serve the Lord. Amen? Let's get ready to serve God. He's not dead. He's not trying to be nice to people. He's looking for those. He's a good God. We're not saying he's not good. But he wants those who are ready to follow him. He's not God. When I have made the sacrifice for you, you know you will increase the money coming back. God said, hey, wait. Listen, I'm not doing any such thing. We're not making such arrangements at all. I'm not doing any such deals with anybody. If you don't want to serve me, go. Just go. Go. Move away. Move. I'm not promising I won't send you to hell. At the right time, done day of judgment. At that, I don't talk to anybody. I look straight ahead. So decide which side you will be. But as for me and you negotiating and begging whether you serve me or not, I'm ending that in 2016. 2017, only those who want to serve the Lord should come to church. Yeah, that's true. Those who are looking to do deals, because they don't come. I'm not enduring you beyond this year. In fact, next year, for every offering you give, I collect extra. If you're not ready to give it, just leave. Stop giving. No, that's what I sense. I think all this one of begging people, come and serve the Lord, he will multiply it back for you. You know, if you win a soul, God will bless your family. That time has gone. Anybody wants to serve the Lord, do what? Serve him. If Baal is Baal, serve him. If our God is the true God, serve him. There's no issue of, you know, people are serving their bodies, serving their covetousness, serving their personal desires, claiming they are serving God. All this service of God is an investment. When I serve him well, he will do things for me. God said, no. That idea, I don't want to hear anybody preach this again in 2017. I will deal with the person personally. One day, somebody gave me a testimony of a man. Pastor said, if you will just give $1 million, by tomorrow, breakthrough. So the guy gave $1 million. By tomorrow, breakdown. Literal breakdown. Trouble just began to jam the guy left and right and center. When I heard the story, I laughed very well. I said, very good. Very, very good. That God said, listen, this one, that people have been lying in my name, 2016, it is over. By 2017, if you promise what I did not promise, I will make you pay it yourself. You know any preacher that's doing the job, saying that Pastor Parker said 2017, he'll be the one paying. They give 10,000, the Lord is going to increase it to $1 million. God said, no problem. You call it 10,000, then I will stand there and be demanding the $1 million per person. You think it's a joke? I have my way of collecting my money. God has his way of collecting his money. It's very simple. You know, God thinks many times is burnt offering. See, you collected how much? 10 people give 10,000. How much are you owing? 7 million. How much is that your car? 7 million. I burn it. It's called a burnt offering, a sweet-smelling savour, an aroma acceptable to the Lord. I'll make sure that your car was made of genuine leather so that when it's burning, you will know it's a burnt offering. The Lord is good. Why did I go to that apostle? Trying to explain to people, listen, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold is how much we are willing to stick with the word of God. When faith makes its demands, are we willing to stick with it? Are we willing to obey it? Faith is going to get up one day and say to you, take Isaac, bring him, sacrifice him. You know what Isaac is? I'll tell you what Isaac is. Since we're in secondary school, you had an idea. University, you cooked it, you were, you know, incubating it. After NYC, you began to build. Now, the company, everything is worth $150 million. You have done well. You are just 25, 31 maximum. And just before you launch the next level, God taps you. Coco. Hello. Say, yes, Lord. All the word you have been hearing since university, I want to come and start preaching it. So what about my conglomerate I'm building? You will sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will come and follow me. And let me tell you the truth. You don't think that God will not let me have it. Lie. Isaac dies is the usual thing. That one reading the Bible is the unusual one. No, the Isaac that did not die. That one is the Isaac because he was a human being, and God didn't want us to be doing human sacrifice, and human sacrifice is not acceptable because they are all sinners. That's why I left him. If Isaac was a goat, God would have collected. If that Isaac was a ram, he would have collected it. Whatever else that Isaac was, God will collect. So when he tells the man, listen, that dream idea, I mean, that's 25 years we're talking about. If I follow David Pawson's calculation, 25 years waiting for Isaac. Isaac grew to the age of 30. Add that, that's 55 years when God demanded the sacrifice. How many years have you built the company? I thought you were saying, I dream. After you started building, only when you finish NYC or during NYC. You've not worked in it for more than 7-8 years. And then now I say, yeah, you are going to walk out of it entirely. You know the truth? Less than 1 in 100 agree. I can assure you of that. Less than 1 in 100 agree. Less than 1 in 100 agree. If you go and read the story of John G. Lake, how God released power into his life. This was a millionaire in his days that needed offerings to travel. Because by the time he relinquished everything, he needed to be believing God for money to take boat. Miracles of divine supply. And he was a millionaire in his days. What am I teaching? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. It depends on how much we respond to the demands of faith. The demands of faith, they are not easy to the flesh. They are not. Let's get it clear. They are not easy to the flesh. It is just that God has given us the ability to obey it in the place of prayer. That's why I like what we teach in the school of prayer. When Jesus saw the cross and it was difficult, he ran into the garden. He didn't run to the cross. There's no buju in this thing. When he saw the cross and it was tight, he went to the garden and he went to pray. He prayed until he received the strength to go through the cross. And that's what I want to do today. As we are closing this series this year in Kingdom World Ministries, everything that we have been learning, which is the Word of God. And listen, the Word of God that works like this. It's not just instructions you hear from the mouth of the teacher, the preacher. No. It's as the Word is coming forth, the Word talks to you. I mean, I don't know the name of your friends, but as I'm preaching, you will think I called their names. And I said, this guy must not be your friend again. This girl, you can't marry her, I'm sorry. He said, Pastor, I proposed to her 3 years ago. I've been paying her school fees since that time. She's graduating in 3 weeks. And me and her father are supposed to see next week. God said, that's why I'm sending Pastor Banky to you today. And I say, no, no, no. It's hard. That's what I'm telling you. If it was easy, I would tell everybody. You're getting my point here? Yes, that's just the way it works. That is what faith does. Faith doesn't always give. Jesus said, I have power to lay down before I now had the power to take it up again. All the word, so as the word is coming for, that's the point I was making. He's speaking to each person individually. There are general things we're saying to everybody. But as the word is coming, I've been in meetings before. As a man of God was preaching, this was in Winner's Chapel those days, went for school of ministry. And many ladies prayer said, you will pray. Say, God. And it, as I'm into a ginger, I begin pray. Then God answered on the spot. Anything that I'm doing that's not in line with your will, remove it out of my life. The Lord just dropped it in my head. Bam. To tell you how powerful it was, I fell into my chair. That was where prayer ended for me for that evening. Nobody, you open your mouth and say, you want to obey. The man in front doesn't know me. The man leading prayer does not know me. Yet his prayer, when I joined him, I joined into trouble. But God did something for me, which, honestly, I didn't even know how he did it. But he taught me how to use his word to pray. I turned the matter to prayer. Simple. I remember once I went to Winners. I've told this story many times. I got back home. I had the tip. I plotted my life. I'm leaving Lagos. I'm moving to this part of the country. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. So God was just looking at me. Banky, where I want you to go, you have not imagined it yet. Because it didn't cross my mind I was coming to Enugu. The year I came to Enugu was the first day I thought of the idea. Or the first year I thought of the idea. It never crossed my mind that I was going to go to Enugu. You're getting my point here? So, but this was a few years before that. I was there, planning my movement and all of that. The Lord said, where I want you to go has never entered your mind. Of course, I didn't hear any voice. I was just on my own. I just went to church that day and I brought a tape. I got back home, put the tape in. I went to have a bath because Lagos can be hot. You sleep well when you have, you know, just had a bath. I lay down. Typical of me, I still do that till now. I put on something to listen to while I fall asleep. I just brought this tape from church. And then the man of God began to preach. And after 5 minutes, I sat up so that I wouldn't fall asleep. Why? Because in the message, he was explaining that you don't belong to yourself. You don't just move because you want to move. You must. Now, the way he said it, he didn't know my matter. But as he was saying it, the Holy Spirit was saying, Banky, did you say you were going somewhere? And I said, no, I'm not going anywhere again. By the time, this message was like 40, 45 minutes. By the time it was done, I was praying. By the time I finished praying, I knew I wasn't going anywhere again. I canceled all my plans for moving. Faith makes its demands. And this is the interesting part. Next day, the Lord now opened doors for me so I can stay behind in Lagos and be comfortable, you know, staying behind. Next day, that is, over the next few days, things were just rearranged around me. The moment my mind just, because Bible said that if they had the mind to return, they would have had opportunities. Where you focus your mind on is where opportunities begin to open. It doesn't mean it's the will of God. Oh, grace is heavy upon me. I was saying Israel just now. I'm writing this book. It's going to come out early next year. Guided by the Spirit. Please make sure you read it. I want it to be a small book, but as things are, it has already, as at this morning when I was walking, it has crossed, don't quit the army in size. Because I do word count. But the thing is, so it's, look. The grace has been on me for the last few days. I'm writing that book like fire. Please, when it comes out, read it. As soon as it comes out, I'll launch it on the website free, so you can download it, all right? As soon as it's ready, once we finish it, I'll just toss it on the website. People can download from all over the world, all right? Now, but please read the book. Because one of the things I found out in the book, as I was writing, I was teaching all these days, I found out, look, if you focus your mind on something that God doesn't want you to have, you will still get it. Listen, the Bible says that if they have been mindful of the country from which they came, they will have had opportunities to return. Opportunity opens on where you are mindful of. If you focus your mind and say, listen, if I don't leave Nigeria, I will not prosper. Eventually, doors to leave will open. And you'll be testifying, God, the way God just did it. God said, me? Say, God just did that. God just arranged it. And the Lord, God will be looking at it and say, okay, me? The reason why the doors open was because you made up your mind. That's where you are going. Don't testify rubbish testimony. A lot of rubbish says this morning in town. A lot of rubbish. Look, I've learned that. That's why he said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Oh, let me summarize. I don't want to speak for too long. What's the point I'm trying to make? Listen. We must make up our minds that we will follow the Lord, though. I hope you're getting my point. Yes, we must make up our minds. Lord, let's rise to our feet. I want us to pray. Just 5 minutes, 10 minutes maximum. All the words I've been hearing, all the things you have been speaking to me, Lord, the grace to obey every single one, no matter how hard the cross is that I need to climb. Lord, that grace, I receive it right now. Begin to pray. I want to hear you praying. Determine. Say, Lord, in the name of... I'm not saying by my strength. I know the truth. What starts coming to your mind? You know what is specific. What you have been resisting. There's even a young man here. He's supposed to go and marry. He's waiting to make money. First, except I buy a car, I can't marry. God said, you are not obeying me. You are obeying your society. Say, Lord, every demand of faith in my life, I will obey. Say, Lord, every demand of faith in my life, the strength to obey is what I'm asking you for. The strength to cut off relationships. The strength to stay in difficult places. The strength to give up what I'm supposed to give up. The strength to obey my ministry. On Saturday, I was talking about the giving ministry. There are those that need the strength to obey. They know the ministry is theirs. Say, Lord, the strength to obey. There are those that are supposed to leave a job and start another, maybe a ministry or a business. But no, comfort won't let them go. Say, Lord, the strength to obey. Say, Lord, every word you have given me. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Say, Lord, every word that you have given me, I will live by it. I will receive life from it as I obey it. Say to the Lord, just like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. They purpose in their hearts, they will not be defiled. Purpose in your heart, I will not... Lord, 99% is not my target. My target is 100%. That's 100-fold. 99-fold, not good enough. Say, Lord, at the end of my life, I want to look back and know that everything that was supposed to be produced was produced. Say, Lord, 100-fold. 100-fold does not come because I desire 100-fold alone. It comes because I obeyed all the demands of faith. Say, Lord, the demands of faith, the strength to obey, I receive today. Give it to me. I receive it. Say, Lord, I receive it. The strength to obey every demand of faith. Say, Lord, I renounce every care of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the loss of other things that come in and choke the word. Say, Lord, I renounce it. Like I said, as the word was coming forth, of course, you are remembering the specific things the Lord said to you. You know it in your heart. Nobody else knows it. It's not in the scripture. It's not the word of, it's not a written word. Say, begin now. Just take a minute and pray about that. Concerning my career, concerning my ministry, my marriage, anything, just begin to pray. Say, Lord, I yield, I yield, I yield, I yield, I yield. Lord, I yield. Somebody needs to drop that sin that doth easily beset. He said, lay aside every sin that doth easily beset. Say, Lord, I yield. Remember, we're talking about purification. That's the most important thing. Say, Lord, I yield. I'm just giving you another minute. Just pray. Just for another minute, pray. Speak to the Lord about your own life. About your obedience to faith. Obeying the demands of faith. And let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Just give him thanks for liberating truth. I want us to begin to, because our own regular meetings, today is our last school of prayer here. By next week, Tuesday, we start our seminar. And when time seminar is over, we're closed for the year. Can we just take a minute and say, Lord, thank you for everything that you have taught us from January till now through this platform. Say, Lord, thank you. Now begin to give him thanks for your own. That is, you know what you learned. You know how he delivered it with truth. Those of us who are co-workers, let's thank him for how he has provided. We spend a lot of money. Our broadcast and all of that. But we don't owe anybody. We don't lack. God supplies all our needs according to his riches in glory. Thank him for financial provision. Thank him for anointing provision. Thank him for human help that he sent, not the one we sought after. Each person in your own individual life, thank him for the fears that he removed from your life. Thank him for the doors he opened for you by the entrance of the word. Thank him for the healing. You used to fall sick so often, but by the time life began to work in you, by the reason of the word, that one disappeared. Thank him for the confidence with which you face life now. You used to be afraid. Say, Lord, I thank you. 2016, a year in which you taught me things I did not know before. A year in which you established me in things that I even thought I knew. I became firmer in them. A year in which I was filled in a higher level with the knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I walked better in the manner worthy of the Lord. I pleased him more, in more respect. I'm bearing more fruit than ever before. Thank you for the increase of knowledge. The knowledge of God. Thank him for it.